Hey guys, what's going on? It's not the Oscars. It is the Walking Dead after show here on AfterBuzz TV. We have a lot to break down in this episode. What the hell did Carl's letter say to Negan? What did it take for Jadis to drop her Yoda voice? And big news for the future of the show, future seasons discussed here on the show. Stay tuned. We're going to see you guys in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right.
Ben.
Back on track.
It's Oscar night.
It's Oscar night.
Talking about The Walking Dead. I'm so excited.
Yeah, seriously, man. That's fine. We follow on the Twitter feed. We're good.
Yeah, right? It's just the awards that you need to know, right? Who won? That's all we care about.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right? That's it.
It's going to happen while we're on the show.
Of course.
Yeah.
What is it? Best picture, right?
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
That's what the show ends with. Yeah.
Shut up, Ben.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome to the Walking Dead After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 8, Episode 10, The Lost and the Plunderers. There's a whole hell of a lot to break down in this episode. We've got some news to break down for you at the end of the episode. A lot of big developments, kind of a whole new show style in the way that the titles were introduced in this episode. And we definitely got some closure on, I think, where the show's going. So I think there's a lot to break down. What were your general thoughts on the show?
I really enjoyed this episode. Now, it's been a while since I've really enjoyed an episode of The Walking Dead. Usually there's something about it that I don't like. And in this particular episode, I mean, we can get nitpicky about it. But overall, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I love the new format. I love the whole going through character.
Or at least this episode's
this
format.
This episode, this episode's format. Of going through each character and expressing, you know, how they feel after Carl's death and all that stuff. And how everything is starting to affect everybody else. I really enjoyed this episode overall. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I like this episode. Yeah. There was the tone of the show is all over the place for me now.
Okay.
Because I think what's happened, and we talk about this a lot every week, is that we have become so used to the beats, and they're so hard to escape now,
of course,
because of the way the show is constructed and sort of this unending string of deaths and walkers. And like, there are certain things, truisms of the show now that we've seen enough times, we're very used to. So for instance, good examples of this are like, if you are surrounded by a big enough group of walkers, they're dangerous. If not, they aren't. Like, we're not really scared of walkers anymore.
Right. Except if you're Michonne.
Yeah.
And then you could just take all of them out with your sword.
Rick will never give up. Like, that's another one. Like, it's like the one thing that you just stick to this whole show.
Yes.
I mean, there are things that are consistent, but then there's also, like, sort of these tonal things where we're trying to balance this ensemble cast. And so, So you sort of have to just balance everything because you have to service every plot line.
Yeah.
So I think like a great place to start tonight, and I think this is actually maybe what I felt was the weakest part of the episode.
Okay.
But we'll knock it out right away.
Yeah, so
I'll share my opinion.
I think I have an idea who it is.
Yeah, we had to go to Oceanside.
Yes.
So we revisited this storyline with Enid and with Aaron. And so a couple things have happened since last we really spent much time with Enid and Aaron. First of all, both of their people are gone from the show.
Yes.
So they are trying to develop these two as kind of a unit now, I think.
You mean their significant others,
I mean, Carl wasn't really Enid's significant other.
Like,
that's why I say they're people. It's like, obviously, like, Eric was Aaron's guy. That was his significant other for sure. But in terms of just, like, their person they're in the show with the most. And so they're both gone now, which makes them sort of this unlikely team.
Yeah.
And they go to Oceanside, and I had sort of forgotten almost entirely about what had happened at Oceanside.
So did I.
Like, this, she's like, oh, you know, Natanya's dead. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Natalia.
Is it Natanya?
Natalia.
I thought it was Natanya.
Oh, well, people in our live chat, let us know, because I wrote Natalia down. You might be right, I might be right.
I've got Natanya written
down here.
Who's
going to win best name tonight? yeah, I think last time we saw them, Enid had just executed, you know, Natalia. I'm going to say Natalia.
Oh, that's right. She had just executed.
Yes, and then they went there to kind of convince Oceanside, obviously, to join the fight.
This is after they had already stolen Oceanside's guns.
Yes.
At one point.
Yes.
Yeah. So Oceanside just keeps just getting beat up. There you go. Yeah, P-Bass, good episode. I like to see that because there's definitely been some pessimism with the show recently. I mean, I've been on that train a little bit.
So have I.
Yeah. You know, you look for the bright spots, but this episode was definitely a nice return to form in some of the best parts of the show. There's some actually really cool stuff to revisit later. But as far as the plot that we're in right now with Enid and Aaron, like, it was pretty quick. They didn't spend much time there.
Yes.
All that we really established was the stakes weren't real. Of course, they were going to be fine. I didn't really think that, like, the women were going to kill either of them.
I didn't either, no. For a second, I thought that they were going to do a little bit more of something with Aaron by taking him down to the beach and scaring Enid.
Yeah.
Just because it's an all-female group, and I thought that, you know, they would look at Aaron as a target.
Right.
And then leave Enid alone, and then seeing, like, you know, see what her actions have caused, like the repercussions of her actions. I thought that's what was going to happen. Clearly, that's not what happened.
I think the point of this part of the show was to show us and remind us that this is what happens if you are a pacifist who stays out of the fight. And then this is what happens in the next section, in the junkyard. If you're a pacifist who stays out of the fight for too long, you just lose everyone.
Yes.
And I think that was supposed to kind of be like, here's where you are now and here's where you could be.
Yes.
So, but it was interesting that the Enid and Aaron storyline, you got like 4 minutes of screen time.
It was very quick. And I literally am looking at my notes and they have literally the shortest amount of notes. And I need something more from Cindy.
Right.
You might be right about these names. I'm just like, clearly I'm all over those names tonight. Cindy, I liked Cindy's character when Tara met her.
Right.
Because she seemed the most logical out of the entire group.
Yeah.
She felt like the most, the one that you would go to try to convince the entire population.
Right.
Her grandmother just felt a little old school to me.
Sure.
And very stuck in her ways. I mean, she's older, so, you know, you expect that from older people. And I wanted something a little bit more in this scene from her. I feel like they're dragging her character out for whatever reason.
Well, she's going to be relevant at some point,
of course.
I mean, the big moment in this scene was that Enid got her moment talking to Cindy where she has to say to her face, your grandmother got herself killed. And that's the point, was you're trying to show us she's a little stronger, she's taking a little more charge.
Yeah.
She's not as scared.
Mm.
I think that's the point, no?
Yeah, no, I agree with that aspect of it. I don't think that it was the smartest move at the time for her to be like, I mean, you just killed this woman's grandmother and that you're like kind of rubbing it in her face.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little too hardcore for Enid at this time.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems a little out of character. And I can understand if she had known Carl was dead and then has this like kick-ass kind of attitude, but
she doesn't even know.
She doesn't even know. Yeah. So nothing really has changed from the last episode or from the last time we saw them for her. And for her to have like this, you know, I'm going to be just a badass right now, it's just a little out of character.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
Fair enough. We are going to move on to the second segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss a little bit of what's going on in the junkyard, because we mentioned that, you know, this is supposed to be part one.
Yes.
So part two, we had sort of two halves to the junkyard plotline.
Yes.
Right? On the one hand, first you have Simon's group show up.
Yep.
And we have this atrocity that is suffered. So I think that's probably the best place to start.
Sure.
So, oh, man, then you have to kind of start where the... So, all right, I guess we should walk it back to Simon.
Let's go to Simon. Okay,
that
great.
Seems like the better place
okay.
to go. Yeah, yeah. All right, so Simon has this conversation with Negan.
Yes.
And this was one of the best parts of the episode, I thought, for a couple different reasons. The biggest of which is that we have had so many of these similar beats with Simon and with Negan.
Yes.
Where they're playing these cartoonish villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just the same, like, that same diatribe we've seen over and over again.
Yep.
So this was one of the first times that we got to see Simon be like, I don't agree. It's not working.
Right.
I'm sick of this.
Yes.
But then have to still play the confident character when intimidating,
mm-hmm.
and you know what's behind his eyes is that he's dissatisfied.
Of course. And he disagrees wholeheartedly.
And I thought that was really significant,
mm-hmm.
because it brought so much more depth to the character.
Yes.
In a way that, like, I was very tired of watching the same shtick.
Yes.
You know?
Simon, Gavin, and Negan, the whole little trio, the people that he has as his top people, like you said earlier, the beats kind of get repetitive, even with these characters.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least with Gavin, we were kind of used to him being a little bit more of like the...
More sympathetic or empathetic one?
Like the benevolent dictator, sort of. Like, he's like a little bit more... He's like a little bit like, fuck, I gotta do this,
yes.
You know?
Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get... Okay, yeah, Simon has more of... The, you know, I just want to kill everybody kind of dictator.
I guess he's like the hothead. Yeah.
But
I thought that made his, first of all, his interaction with Negan at first was obviously planting the seed of sort of betrayal. But then beyond that, when he actually goes to the junkyard, it made that scene ring a lot truer for me. So go ahead.
That scene with him and Jadis when he went back to the junkyard was one of my favorite scenes, probably in the entire season.
Because you're... The whole time you're watching, you're thinking, what the hell's going to happen, right? It's like...
Yeah.
And there's even, like, the red herring when he's like, what's with the solar panels and the helipad? You're like,
yes.
Is there, like, a hidden city under here?
Oh, you're Ben,
like,
you're dropping knowledge right now. Okay, we're getting right into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the helipad and the solar panels, I was like, oh, wow, okay, they know about this stuff. Now we know that they have a helipad. Now that just brings me back to when we saw the helicopter. Like, do we? And then I know maybe I'm jumping ahead about a little bit, but then we see Jadis with the electricity that they have.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that maybe they are playing like they're trash and dumb people. That's why they were putting on these voices. And they're really smart, and they actually have like a whole like underground compound or something.
Something, because like but then it felt like if that was the case, we would have seen some part of it, and it wasn't the case.
True, but I don't know. I don't think that they would be hiding their applesauce in like a broken oven behind some trash if they did have an underground compound. Granted, but I do think that there's a lot more to those solar panels and that helipad that he.
Those people, those in the chat, share your thoughts, because this is a big one. Mm-hmm. We saw the helicopter like a few episodes ago now, and that was a big reveal for me. There's something going on with the junkyard, and we're going to find out what it is. But so you know, Simon shows up here, has his intimidation moment. Mm-hmm. They give the guns away, which I was like, for a second there, I was like, is Simon in control here? Because I feel like they're just going to open fire.
Thought that Simon was going to open fire, or Jadis? I thought the same thing.
I was like, I don't think they're going to get pushed around again. I think they're just going to kill everyone. But, you know, not the case.
Yes.
They give the guns away. Mm-hmm. They get massacred. All those beats were surprising to me.
I agree. I feel like we're going back to, and it obviously is not on the level of when Glenn died, but it was kind of on the same wavelength where you don't know what's going to happen. You know something's going to happen. You don't know what it is. And the scavenger people are so expendable that was what was going to happen. Now, here's what I didn't expect. Simon has been Negan's kind of right-hand man and doing everything that he's been saying from the get. So for him to, like, shoot everybody, I also didn't understand the whole timeline either. I didn't know how far back when Negan and Michonne showed up and there were all these walkers in the junkyard. If I had put those two together, I would have been like, okay, they're about to all get massacred. But then I thought about it and I was like, well, how do we know Jadis's people aren't going to be the ones to kill the savior people and they're the walkers, not the scavenger people?
Right.
So there was a lot for me in that entire scene, because I was trying to break down all of this in my head and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And it just brought me back to kind of, like I said, when Glenn died and the stakes that are so high.
Yeah.
And like it's been a while since we've seen a whole bunch of people like that just get murdered. Yeah. And granted, we don't feel anything for these people. We don't know these people. They're weird. They're kind of trashy. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But at the same time, watching the reaction that Jadis had.
You have the names tonight.
Me and the names tonight. I don't know what's going on. That Jadis had made me really feel for her, and I loved that.
Well, yeah. So she's a really, really good actress. And that's something we've talked about this in the past. And it's like, you don't really get a series regular role on a show like Walking Dead unless you are at this point very, very talented.
Yes.
You're gonna be vetted against a shitload of people.
Of course.
So Pollyanna McIntosh, she's pretty well accomplished, and she's great. And as I mentioned earlier, the Yoda voice that she drops once this all happens, which like, we have joked about before and like made fun of the scavenger people before, but like clearly there was some purpose to it.
Yeah.
And once they're all gone, you know, in some ways it's kind of like Negan. We are all Negan.
Yes.
He has to hold that up.
Yes.
Right. Ezekiel, he has to keep up the king thing.
Yes.
Right. It's like Jadis has to keep up the Yoda thing.
Yes.
Because like, I'm going to keep calling it the Yoda thing. I know she doesn't actually talk like Yoda, but like her bit. And it's like, it kind of, you see the similarities, the parallels between each of these leaders in a fractured world like this, where people depend on you just to be confident.
Yes.
You sort of have to have a shtick. Your shtick is really important, because in reality, many of the people that are in these positions were just regular ass people in the real world.
Yeah.
So you have to come up with some way to be more than regular.
But I also don't think that it's just a shtick with Jadis. I think that it was more of a strategic kind of
ruse.
Yeah, because they don't want people to know A, what they have, and B, how smart they are, because then they would just target them. I mean, look at Alexandria. Look at this dumpster. Look at this junkyard, for example. I mean, who would ever want to live in a junkyard?
Right.
So if you think about it, Jadis is actually the smartest one out of everybody, because she, A, has managed to keep her people safe, has managed to not been really a target until Negan and Rick came and put them in the middle of it, because everybody just discounts them for being these scavengers, these trash people.
These trashy people.
I think it's a smart idea, and I hope it's not the last we see of her.
Yeah, I don't think we will. That's not going to be the last we see.
No. She's just starting to grow on me. I really like her. I'm excited about her.
Well, that was, and I mean, that was the thing, is, you know, that was like an important piece of development for her character. I also thought that it was a little bit heavy-handed to give us so much all at once with her.
Okay.
Because like, to this point, what we had gotten from her was, like, a lot of these negotiation scenes.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know if I can trust her. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's got, like, her sweet outfits.
Yes.
And, like, all the... And so this was the first time we had seen some humanity from this character.
Okay.
And so to give us, like, the significance of her losing her people mm-hmm. and then dumping them all in the meat grinder... Not to say that it wasn't effective, because mm-hmm. I thought it was.
Yeah.
It just was a long scene. For somebody who had, like, never even gone to that level,
right.
It was a lot to get to know her and to experience her loss all at the same time.
I agree with you. And you compared her to Ezekiel before, and I didn't actually realize how many similarities she had with Ezekiel. The whole front that she puts on, this act, if you will, this character. She just watched a whole bunch of her people get slaughtered. He just watched a bunch of his people get slaughtered. And we didn't really give that kind of criticism to Ezekiel because we kind of knew him. We kind of know him. He's been
right.
part of the show. And I think with Jadis, I feel like because we haven't really gotten to know her, because the writers haven't really given her any screen time, if you will, they had to do a lot in very few seconds or very few minutes. So I really wasn't mad at it. It didn't bother me. Yeah.
I thought it was a good scene. So.
I did too.
Now let's talk about the meat grinder.
Yeah. Yes.
So I hadn't even thought about... Until we were sitting here, when you mentioned the electricity,
mm-hmm.
I just hadn't even gone there yet.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we just assumed they didn't have electricity.
I know, because their act is so good.
But I guess that's what the solar panels are.
Right.
So the solar panels are generating some amount of electricity, and that's one of the devices that they have that they can use.
Yeah. But it's funny because Alexandria had solar panels too.
Right. True.
And I don't exactly know where... This helipad or these solar panels. I mean, helipad and solar panels aren't the smallest things that you could hide.
No.
So I'm curious to see where they are. Are they hidden underneath a whole bunch of trash, and they only like, take them out when there's nobody? I don't. Because in my mind, they did this whole thing in order not to be targeted, living in a junkyard, have this whole act. But yet you have solar panels and a helipad out back. Now, the helipad, granted, it's going to be there, whatever. Nobody's going to target you for a helipad because it was probably there before. You obviously don't have a helicopter. And if you do, you can't really fly it or function it. But the solar panels was interesting to me because you can't hide those.
Right. Yeah. So they're there somewhere. And that's going to be a relevant piece of the plot again.
Yeah.
It will. Guaranteed.
Yeah. I completely agree with you.
We don't know what it is yet. So... But so she grinds up all these. It's funny. There's an element to this show that you get periodically, which is the pulpy gore zombie part of the show.
Yes.
And it's funny that there's obviously an audience for it. There's like people that watch the show because they love
the gore,
the gory zombie stuff.
Yeah.
And so every episode or two, they mm-hmm. make sure to have a scene or pick a moment, mm-hmm. like the walker's face getting caught on the rod, like tearing off.
Yeah.
You know, or this moment where you're running the grinder, the trash compactor grinder thing, and like making like Walker hamburger.
Oh, Ben, how gross!
I thought the tray thing was just really gross. It was really gross.
Yeah, it was. It was really gross, and it was really well done. It didn't look, you know.
Do you think that if you were to eat, like, if you were to like,
really, we're gonna go there?
Would it turn you into a zombie?
I don't know. I don't know. I go back to season one or two. People in the chat are probably going to correct me on this. But remember when they were in the campsite and they found a deer that had been eaten by a walker? And then Rick, or was it Shane, had said they can't eat the deer because it's already been eaten?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if the infection can get spread like that, then I can only assume that it could get...
Also, remember the cannibals were eating... what the hell was that guy's name?
Bob.
Bob, there
his
you go.
Leg.
Yeah. D'Angelo from The
yeah.
Wire. They were eating his leg at one point, and he was tainted meat, as he says. And they
that's true.
And they didn't turn, so.
Yeah, but they didn't turn, but they were worried about it, though.
Because
once
they
he said,
killed
like,
fast. Yeah.
You know, I'm tainted, they were all like, blah.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always a mystery on how this is spread.
Bob's leg. Yeah, people are talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's pretty much, that's how that scene ends. She walks out. She eats some applesauce. On the box that she pulled her applesauce from was written applesauce. What did I write here? Shelf stable times 20.
Yes.
So I'm just assuming that that's like taken from some storage somewhere.
Maybe.
And like, yeah, but I'm curious, though, again, is there some hidden place where they have a huge stock of food and all kinds of supplies? And is that why she was willing to give the guns away? Do they have way more than we know?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But on the other hand, maybe she was like, we'll give the guns away because they'll leave.
Yes.
We'll restock and we'll be prepared next time.
I'm telling you, Jadis and her people have been downplaying what they have for a very long time. And I'm interested to see what it is.
Yeah, that'll be a big reveal when we get it.
Did you want to get into Rick and Jadis's moment now, or do you want to wait till later?
Yeah, that's probably good. That's probably good to do. Okay. So, so Michonne and Rick show up, and Jadis is, you know, she hasn't gone full on organ grinder yet.
No.
And,
she's broken almost.
Yeah, she seems to be broken. And this is the first time that we see her without the voice.
Yeah.
And this was surprising.
Yes.
And endearing.
And it's funny because I don't give Jadis as much crap as I do with her voice than when I do with Ezekiel.
You're not a fan of Ezekiel.
No, not at all. but her voice never really bothered me. And now, if it was just an act just to kind of play dumb, it makes me even like her even more now.
Yeah.
And yeah, just seeing her without it was kind of odd. It was kind of like, wow, you're so broken that you can't even put on an act anymore.
She's like wearing like a white... like a white slip.
Yeah. And I was like, did she change?
Yeah. I guess she must have been covered in like her junkyard gear and must have been covered in blood.
Yeah.
So she probably just dumped it.
Yeah.
And had her white slip. Who knew she was wearing like a clean white slip under all
Who
that?
Knew? Who knew they had clean white slips in the zombie apocalypse?
Somewhere. Yes, yeah, somewhere. All right. So Rick and Michonne show up and they have to take out some walkers with like a converted car door or something.
Yeah.
That seems like an unwieldy tool and a good way to die.
Like, I mean, it was a good shield for a second.
Yeah, but like...
it's pretty heavy though, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, that seems like I'd hurt my back running trying to hit walkers with it.
Yeah.
And like, I guess the walkers at this point, their skin is so soft that like, the handle just goes through them.
That's so gross.
But imagine like...
No, you're right. You're right. It's been like years.
Imagine running at someone with like a car door like that.
Yeah.
And but running
granted,
into
these
them.
Walkers haven't been dead for very long.
Right. Well, that's what I'm kind of saying.
Yeah.
Like, if you were like running and you were to like throw your shoulder, even if like the handles on the car door were kind of sharp,
because
like they're not like knives and like throw yourself into someone, it's not like the handles would go through their head and their body.
No.
They'd like knock them over.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
So I was just, that whole scene, I was like, huh, I feel like if I was trying to wield this door, unless I had like a lot of experience with door shields, I would definitely not see a walker coming, or I wouldn't be able to maneuver fast enough.
Well, that's why you have the car window.
Yeah.
Just saying, man. I thought it was a pretty good shield to use at the time for what they had. Granted, it is a junkyard. I'm sure he could have used something
a little bit more
practical, but it worked.
So they show up and, you know, they're talking to Jadis, and she's like, let me come with you. Mm-hmm. Rick fires a shot at her as he says, over her head.
Yes.
He didn't want her to come with.
Yes.
Michonne has a problem with this.
I had a problem with it.
Yeah.
I thought that it was completely against what Carl just said to do.
Yeah.
I was like, didn't he just tell you to kind of keep the peace? And then you're looking at this woman, and she's no threat to you. She has shot him. She has double-crossed the entire group. And yes, Rick might be very angry at some of the fault that she's played in where they are now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this woman just lost all of her people. You're not going to show her any kind of sympathy. I didn't like it.
I mean, she's double-crossed him, though. Hard.
But still, though, like...
ah, she's sold you up the river, man. Like, I know you just lost all your people, but, like, she has made decisions that have put Rick and his family in direct peril. I mean, I know she's lost all her people, but, like, on Rick's... he doesn't have to shoot at her, but he doesn't need her coming with...
No, but she didn't ask to go with. She just asked to get out. And I can understand that. Literally, you're surrounded by all the people that you were close to, and now they're trying to kill you. And you can't have just the common decency to let this woman out so that she doesn't have to be with the people that she just knew that just got slaughtered. Like, their leader, essentially. I just thought it was a little heartless of Rick. And I just felt like... It's going to cause a problem later on with him and Jadis.
Lady Idriel has just said in the chat, didn't they steal the food from Gabriel from Alexandria? The applesauce. And I guess that's true. I forgot about that. When Gabriel, they take him in his car.
That's right.
Right? And they
take,
and they like stole a bunch of food.
Yes.
So that must have been. That's why they showed it to us.
Because Olivia was the one who was...
to remind us that it was...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Thank you,
Lady. Yeah, there you go. Just foolish says Jadis wouldn't have shown Rick any mercy. You're absolutely right. I agree. That's why I think it was justified for Rick to be cold.
I don't know. I still disagree. I still think that, you know, I don't know. Is mercy the same as human decency?
I just think that the rules in this world, like I said, we talked about those beats that are consistent all through the show that never change. And one of those beats is, if you are too vulnerable, if you're too kind, if you try to help people, you die.
Yes,
and and Rick has learned his lesson. It's like if you try to help somebody once, or you try to make a deal with somebody once, mm-hmm. and they sell you out, yes. and go, and people are shooting at you because of it. I would, if in Rick's position, never, ever, 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 unless she gave me some reason to trust her,
right.
showed me something,
right?
Which why, like,
no way. Of course, and it's not out of character for Rick. I'm not saying it's out of character for him because look at what he did with Sadiq, somebody who doesn't even know. He was like, no,
right?
Like, we're not even going to help you. So I didn't expect him to help Jadis, but I didn't like it. I just didn't like it.
So they leave, they get on the road, and Rick finds out that Carl has written this letter to Negan, which yes. we don't know what it says. Right. All we know is that it asked them, according to Rick, mm-hmm. he wrote a letter asking them both to stop.
Yes.
I hope we get to read this letter at some point. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing?
I mean, I sort of thought that the end of this episode was going to be the Carl voiceover reading the letter.
Okay, yes.
That's what I assumed was going to happen.
You think that'd be a little cliche?
It might have been.
Because, I mean, Rick kind of tells us the gist of it. He wants him to stop.
Yeah, right.
But then at the same time, to be fair, in the last episode, we kind of knew that that's what Carl wanted anyway.
Right,
so I thought in this letter it was going to be a little bit
something
more enlightening
more
on something.
Specific, yeah. So they pull over. We didn't talk about Rick and Michonne leaving Alexandria first, which there wasn't a tremendous amount there, but there was some.
There was. I'm glad that you brought it up because I kind of wanted to talk about Michonne and her kind of obsession with wanted to keep the ground sanctified, if you will, of walkers, because she tries to close the gate,
right?
And then she tries to call the walkers that are there once she sees the handprints, and I love that she saw the handprints. If I'm going to be nitpicky about the episode, I thought it was a little cliche that the house that they were still, that they did the handprints on was still standing after literally Negan's people blew up everything. But I'm glad she saw the handprints. And I loved how she was trying to keep that. I don't know if she was trying to keep it walker free for Carl because that's where he died and that's where he's buried, or because she hopes that they will one day return back to Alexandria and it won't be overrun by walkers.
Well, she has the one line while they're leaving, right, where she says he used to sit on the roof.
Yes.
I think he said he used to, or did she say we used to?
She said he.
So, like, yeah, there's definitely that sentimentality. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, one of the interesting things about this show, mm-hmm. is that we don't often get those moments where characters are willing to acknowledge sentimentality.
Yeah.
Because you're usually fighting for your life and keeping anything, any memories, anything like that. It's mm-hmm. like, it's usually just about killing someone or not getting killed.
Yeah.
So it was refreshing for a second there to see Michonne being like, I'm going to risk my life to maybe save this thing because I want this thing to be here someday.
Yeah.
Because this was a part of our life.
I think Michonne gets what Carl was ultimately trying to say, which is, there has to be a future, and she wants Alexandria to be part of that future. But
yeah.
Do we think that this is the last that we're going to see of Alexandria? I kind of felt that's the vibe that they were giving off. Because, like, if you look at it, I loved when they were driving away and we saw Welcome to Alexandria, Safe Zone, Home of the Lost and the Plunders, which is the title of the episode. And that was just so surreal for me to see because I knew Alexandria had to fall at some point.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch.
How many seasons have we been there? I feel like
two.
Two full, maybe more.
Yeah, probably.
Because I feel like they showed up to Alexandria after the storm in the barn.
Yes, they did.
And that was like, I mean, yeah, Rick, Jesse, all that stuff. We're mm-hmm. in season 8 in the second half now. Mm-hmm. At least two full seasons. I think maybe the end of season 6.
Okay.
The end of season 6, is that right? Or did season 7 start with the head getting bashed in?
Season 7 started with the head getting bashed in.
That was the very first episode.
Yes.
Right?
So they were already at Alexandria for a long period of time.
So maybe they got to Alexandria at the end of season 5. Maybe the final episode is when they're inside.
Because they got there right after Terminus.
Which is season 5.
Yes.
So at the end of season 5, they show up, and that's when Morgan shows up, and Rick's like, Morgan? He's like, Rick?
yes.
So
Just Foolish is into season 5. So we worked it out. We got there.
All right, so we have them get on the road. They read these letters. Now, Rick makes a phone call to Negan. Mm-hmm. A walkie-talkie call.
Mm-hmm.
Where he basically tells Negan that Carl's dead. So this was a particularly significant scene for me. Because this was one of the first times, again, that we've seen like Negan talking like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like he dropped the act.
Yeah.
He was legitimately sad that Carl was gone.
Yeah.
He liked Carl.
He did.
Their relationship in the comic book is one of the strongest relationships. Mm-hmm. It's like a really important one.
Yes.
And so it was nice to see them have that conversation, because it's funny because it turns so quickly from, you know, Carl wanted it supposed to stop, but it's too late for peace. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And it's like Negan's kind of right what he's saying to Rick. He says to him, like, I had plans for that kid. That kid was the future. Carl's dead because of you. You know, you could have just let me save all of you. And this actually played into some really interesting stuff in this episode, because Simon, in his conversation with Negan, says, as we're saving people, uses the quotation marks. Yeah. And, like, that's one of the first moments we've seen a savior say that to Negan.
Yeah.
Like, making fun of the idea of saving people. Mm-hmm. But then Negan talks to him as though they truly are saving people.
Yeah.
And the way he talks to Rick,
yes,
I could have saved all of you. He really believes.
It's like cult mentality. He actually believes that he is saving people. And I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying. I actually loved that part of it, because you truly get into the mind of Negan. Like, he actually believes what he's saying. I honestly thought it was just an act. Like, I thought he was just doing this because he wants what everybody else has, but to do less work.
Right.
Or to do the minimal of work and just to have everything that everybody else has. So they do the work, he just reaps the benefits. And he actually believes that he is saving people from killing themselves or killing each other. And it just baffles my mind. It's literally cult mentality.
Yeah. It's crazy. I thought that conversation was so interesting. Oh, you got Vader girl up here. I love the bromance walkie talk. Yeah, it was great. I liked the moment a lot. It definitely resonated with me a lot, even though it turned into, you know, death threats quickly.
Which just brings us back to that, because I'm like, Negan seemed more of like the practical one in that conversation. He seemed like, you know, the one with the cult mentality seemed like he was the one that was sane, and Rick is sitting here like, I'm gonna kill you, even though that's not what Carl wanted. Now, do I think Negan needs to die? Yes. Do I think that Rick needs to kill him? Yes. Do I think that Rick needs to tell Negan that he wants to kill him right now? No.
Yeah, it's like, no shit, man.
Like, you're just adding fuel to the fire. I think that Rick probably should have, because you could obviously hear it over the walkie-talkie. There was a definite impact of the news of Carl's death by Negan.
Oh, yeah.
If I was Rick, I would have used that to my advantage, and that's not what he did. Obviously, he's not in the position right now to use his son's death for any kind of thing.
He wouldn't, trifle with Carl's memory. He's just angry. He's blood drunk.
I get it.
So the question is, like, how do we get from point A to point B? Because there's obviously a crack in the armor, so I think this should probably bring us to the last piece of the episode, which is the parts with Simon that we left out.
Yes.
So Simon, obviously, against Negan's wishes, Ben, sorry, not about the show, but is there no Supernatural podcast tonight? I don't know, but if I had to guess, it's that it's Oscar Sunday, and there's probably a lot of people that had things they had to do tonight.
Yes.
So, like, events they're covering and things like that.
Yeah.
I had one, but I skipped it so I could be here with you guys.
That's right. That's okay. And, you know, since we are segueing right now, no, there might be a Supernatural after show. There might not be. But if you don't want to listen to the Supernatural after show, you can go and listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos. A podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Might not be Sundays like Supernatural, but it is Fridays. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to care and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you never had. And I love Maria. I know that Ben loves Maria as well. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. We love free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us, her AfterBuzzers, who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yeah, I've listened to it before. It's fantastic. Maria's the best in the business. And we're not just saying that because she's our boss. Maria is truly the best in the business. She was on the Oscars red carpet tonight.
Yep.
She is the consummate professional, great at what she does, and it's absolutely a great show. So I recommend checking it out.
But no, Supernatural, back to The Walking Dead. You're talking about Simon.
Yeah. So what I was going to say was, Simon is dissatisfied. He's very dissatisfied with Negan, and he goes and he massacres all these people, all of the salvagers. And Scavengers.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets back to the sanctuary, and Negan's like, how did it go? Mm-hmm. And Simon's like, oh, you know, just warned him and did my thing. And so that's like, now, because we've got Dwight on the other side, who's defected already.
Yes.
Gavin's dead, and Simon is going to be against Negan. Arat appears to be the only general kind of left on Negan's army.
Yeah.
When do you think, I suppose this, we've been giving chat shout outs. I want to just Should we just get into predictions, maybe? Because before
we get into predictions, want to talk about the moment between Simon and Jadis. Because just to kind of a step back, because when they were there, that, like I said, was my favorite scene of the entire season. With the whole there is remorse, and talking about Simon, I half expected him to tell Negan or kind of lie about what happened. I thought he was going to tell him what happened,
right?
Because Negan's going to find out eventually, unless Simon has this plan of Negan not being around, so he's not really worried about Negan finding out.
That's kind of what I think's happening,
right?
But Negan's pretty smart,
right?
And he could also tell before he sent Simon off,
yeah,
something was seriously wrong.
And I also thought that walkie-talkie conversation between Nick and
Rick,
what did I
good
call
old
him?
Nick.
Yeah, I was mixing Negan and Rick. I'm gonna call him Nick when I have a scene together now. When Negan and Rick were having that conversation over the walkie-talkie, I thought that Rick was going to allude something like, we saw what happened at the junkyard, and he was gonna look at Simon and be like, what the hell happened at the Simon,
right,
at the junkyard, Simon? Like, so I thought that's where that was going to go. I'm interested to see how Negan puts all of this into place.
I think he knows. I think he's probably got at least one other person on that crew that's going to let him know what's going on.
Fair.
And I think Simon's going to try to make his move before Negan knows.
Ooh, I like it.
And I think that that's going to open up. Yeah, Simon's a loose cannon. Agreed with the chat here. I think that's what's going to open up the shot for Rick and the gang to get in there and kind of change things up.
Yes.
Because Negan doesn't know yet that Gavin's not back, right? He's waiting to hear.
Yeah.
But he's like,
he's got that like really weird instincts where he's like, Gavin's MIA, we should probably send a letter, another one, or a signal.
I mean, he's been a leader for a while. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I suggest we get into some predictions.
I agree.
Because I think there's quite a bit to talk about.
Yes.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
I love predictions.
Yeah, it's great. The lights change.
I know, it's my favorite. As long as you don't have epilepsy, we're fine.
Neither of us know, but my dark horse prediction was that Dunkirk was going to win Best Picture.
Oh.
Now, I haven't stuck to that in a while because I guess we've gotten closer and closer to the event. There's just no momentum there at all.
All right.
The big favorites were obviously Three Billboards and Shape of Water.
Yes.
I think Guillermo's going to win Best Director. I just thought that maybe, like, the World War II movie, they would just give it to Dunkirk. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
I disagree. I don't think that Dunkirk is going to win Best Picture.
I don't think so.
If I were to pick Best Picture, since we're going on predictions for Best Picture tonight, because it is Oscar Sunday, I would say Three Billboards.
Yeah, I'll bet you somebody in the chat's going to tell us who won. It's going to
probably
happen.
Well, good. Somebody in the chat, let us know.
Yeah, if it's already happened. So, speaking of the show predictions, I believe that, as I said a second ago, this is the moment.
Yes.
So I think that Simon trying to betray Negan is what's going to open the door for the next part of the show. I also think, I believe that Negan's not going to die.
Okay.
I don't think Rick kills him.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I think if Rick was to kill Negan at this point, with all the signs they've shown us, with all the buildup, with Carl writing the letter, I think it would be like, it wouldn't prove any point. There wouldn't be any reasoning to it.
I disagree with you. I think that they have to kill Negan in order to create the future that Carl wants. And I feel like that in and of itself is just, like, I'm going to say paradoxical. I don't even know if I'm using that right, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because it's exactly what Carl wants, but you can't get to where you ultimately want to be because of what Carl wants. And it's such just a dilemma, because Rick wants to do what Carl wants him to do, but at the same time he knows that he can't, because Negan does have to die.
Do you think that, like, there's any The Shape of Water just won? No? I wonder if that's the case. Looks like Dalton Farian just told us, but I wonder if that's a prediction or if that's what actually happened. Dalton Farian, tell us, did you predict that or did that really happen? So the other thing we didn't talk about was that the coffin shows up, sent by Maggie with Dean inside it. It says we have 38 others stand down.
Yes.
So you wonder if Negan looks at that and it's just like, my people are just getting massacred. Mm-hmm. All these people I've been saving, they're dying in droves.
Yep.
People are getting mowed down. You wonder if there was some amount of like, is it Negan that's going to back down in the end, and that's why they spare him?
Hmm.
I can't imagine it. I just, at my biggest prediction, I just don't think Negan's dead at the end of the season.
I look at it and I go, even if Negan backed down at the last minute, like, look at what happened with Jadis in this episode. She kind of backed down at the last minute, and she's done a fraction of what Negan has done to Rick's people, and Rick was like, no.
But the other thing is, I don't know how they could possibly not kill him. Like, I don't know how this show continues without killing Negan. I mean, there's stuff in the comic books that we could talk about
right.
that would be inspiration for that, but, and we'll usually talk about it at the end of the episode, but
yeah.
It happened. Shape of Water won.
Okay. Yeah.
Congratulations, Shape of Water.
Yes, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
I do think, I agree with you. I think that Simon is going to be the new villain of either season 8, maybe going into season 9. But at the same time, do I want him to be? No, because I feel like he's just a piggyback off of Negan, and I feel like we need a completely different villain for
sure
the rest of A, the season, or B, the rest of the next season. Because it's already, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just, yeah.
I think that's pretty much, those are my, I mean, that was my big prediction I thought of tonight. Yeah. I just got this feeling on that walkie-talkie call.
Okay, one of my other predictions was Jadis being more of a threat in the future episodes to Rick's people because she's so jaded about what he has done to her. And I don't blame her. I feel like she could possibly be the next villain. And how awesome would it be to have a female villain in end of season 8 going to season 9?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I feel like she wasn't
that
I
hurt
could see
by
it. Yeah.
Like, no. Do I want her to be the enemy? No, I want her to work with Rick. I want her to, I really like Jadis now, and I hope that we get to see more of her in a good way. But I won't be mad if she's, like, the new villain. But I don't think she's, like you said, that pissed off to be a villain.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, now we've covered some things we're predicting, just a little bit of the gossip in the news that's been going on.
Yes.
So, there's big changes happening on The Walking Dead and the Fear of the Walking Dead staff. So Fear of the Walking Dead got two new showrunners. There's going to be a time jump happening in that show.
Okay.
Thinking about how they're going to handle a potential time jump in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it was just renewed for season 9.
Mm-hmm.
So at least one more season. It's surprising at this point that it took so long to get the renewal. I mean,
yeah.
I know it happens like clockwork, but you would have thought that it was renewed for three seasons ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that was just announced. But the other thing is that I know Scott Gimple was promoted to above showrunner.
Yes.
And I don't have her name in front of me. But
Angela
Kang was basically stepped into the role of showrunner.
Yes.
And this was a good episode. But on the whole, I know ratings for the show are down.
Yes.
The season premiere, it was last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is episode 2 of the second half. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The season premiere had the lowest ratings since the season 2 premiere.
Wow.
Now, it obliterated the closing ceremony of the Olympics.
Okay. Of course.
Which was great.
Yeah.
But the lowest ratings in the show since season 2.
Okay.
Under 8 million viewers. Whereas the height of the show was pulling in 18 million.
Okay.
So I do wonder.
Here's my thing. Because I watched our footage back of last episode and I was disdainfully disappointed with that episode. And I made that very clear. Here's my thing with Walking Dead. And I'm going to try to revamp this image. This can change all at the drop of a hat. Like,
yeah.
We might go into season 9 and it might be the best season that The Walking Dead has ever given us. And I just think that we're a little tired of the Negan All at War storyline. I feel like it's just, to have a villain for a whole season is just unrealistic in the world of The Walking Dead. And I feel like they need to keep it to half a season or at least three quarters of a season and then introduce us to another villain just to keep us on our toes. I think that this show can come back season 9 with Angela Kang as the new showrunner and just blow our minds.
Well, because now how long have we had Negan? So we're going to be finishing out season 8 with Negan as the villain for basically the entirety. We have 6 more episodes in the second half. I can't imagine that Negan's going to be gone before that. So I think we have all of season 8.
Mm-hmm.
We know that season 7 opened with him bashing in Glenn's head.
Right. He's been out for about a season and a half. Because half the season break for season 7 was them trying to figure out how to get out of Alexandria, but then they kept getting blocked off by all of Negan's people, and then we finally...
Right, and then it opens.
So he's been on the show for about a season and a half.
More. All of last season, half of this season, he'll have been on for the end of this season.
Oh, of course.
And he started showing up in mention in the back half of season 6.
So 2 seasons.
2 plus. He'll have been like a presence on the show for 2.5 seasons at a time.
I just think that's a little overdone for
Walking
Dead villain.
I agree. Yeah. So, all right, guys. That is going to wrap us up. We are back same time, same place next week. We're going to have Daryl Christian back on the panel.
Yay.
If you guys enjoyed watching us, you can follow along. Please engage. Like, comment, subscribe. It means the world. If you guys can leave us a positive review on iTunes, it'll help us stay high in the standings. We'll be able to keep providing free content for you guys. Sorry, it's a mouthful.
No, you're good.
If you want to find me, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
Yep. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike.
And guys, we will see you same time, same place next week. Thank you so much for paying attention to The Walking Dead in its 8th season.
Yep.
We'll see you guys soon.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.